This message is brought to you by Whiting Community Church in Whiting, Vermont. Real people, real faith. Here's Pastor Billy Jones.
I think something happens in the springtime here at Whiting Community Church. And you guys are here this morning, and I need your help. Something that always happens every spring is our attendance goes slurp. And I think it's just all this beautiful weather and all this sunshine and gloriousness. And people say, well, it's such a beautiful day on Sunday. Maybe I'll not go to church and go do something else. So I need you guys to do two things. Number one, look around, see who's not here, and encourage them to make it next Sunday. And number two, I know that everyone here probably knows someone that doesn't go to church. Raise your hand if you know someone that doesn't go to church. See, I knew it was everyone here. Make a commitment to reach out and to invite some folks to come to church. You know, and I know, that that's where the answers are to life anyway. The only answer, the only place to find happiness and purpose in this short time that we have on earth is found right here. Where do you find out what is here? Well, you find out in church. That's where we go to learn more about Scripture. So invite one of those people that you love and that you care about to come attend church with you. I would think, you know, in the last 5 years at Whiting Community Church, we've done a lot of things to get people in the doors. We've done a lot of programs and hi, Nathaniel. We've sent out postcards and we've had festivals, but if you turn around and look at the different folks that are here that weren't here 5 years ago and ask them, well, why did you come? The most popular answer that you will get is, oh, well, so-and-so invited me. So-and-so asked me to come. And so that's how people come to church usually, is by someone else that cares for them and loves them, and they know it, ask them to come. So that's your job. That's one of your responsibilities, is to ask folks to make it to church, to invite them to be your guest. And don't just invite them to church and then ignore them. If they do show, you know, well, I'm so glad you're here. You sit over there, I'm sitting over here. No, put your arm around them, sit with them. Maybe tell them after church, I'm so glad you were here, and we don't have anything planned, even if you did. Tell them you don't have, it's okay to tell that little, small little fib. And then tell them, you know, since I don't have anything planned, I want to go to lunch with you and take them out to a restaurant somewhere and make them feel loved and welcomed in the church. And if you're nervous or whatever and don't know what to say, maybe it said lunch, say, and Pastor Billy knew that you were going to come, and he's coming with us to dinner, and I'll be more than glad to make it. Aaron's paying, so I don't mind a bit. Don't mind a bit. This morning, I have a very, very different kind of time for us. Let's see, we got 24 minutes or so. I got in Sunday school that everyone really wants out at 12. I don't know what you guys do after 12 o'clock. Maybe, you know, some kind of important meetings with delegates or world-changing things go on after 12 or something. So I'm going to do my best to get you out of here at 12. My family, we're leaving right after church to go to a birthday party. Isn't that right? Celine's birthday party. And I'm looking forward to that. What's that? Her third birthday. So... And then immediately after Celine's birthday party, our family's traveling down to Connecticut to go to a pastor's conference down there. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Whole family, all of us get to go this time, the kids and all, so that'll be fun. But this morning, I want to talk about a topic that's been on my heart, pretty major. The reason why I got into ministry to begin with was to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell people about the good news, to tell people that God love them so much. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that means you, that means all of your neighbors, that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, God become flesh, that if you believe in him, you won't perish. You won't spend the rest of your life separated from God in hell, but indeed you'll have everlasting life. That is what I've given my life for. That's what I've dedicated my ministry for. And it seems like a lot of times when we get really deep in Bible studies that we forget to talk about the nitty-gritty of that. And something that's been mentioned a couple times this week and laid on my heart, and why we're diverting from Genesis again, you will never make it through that book, I swear. You know, only 25 chapters left to go. We're halfway, okay? Another couple years, we'll be done. But this topic of salvation is, there's so many people surrounding us in our community that don't know the good news. They don't understand the good news. And there's so many folks in our churches that do understand the good news, but find it difficult to share the good news with others, because while they understand it in their heart, they struggle with explaining it. It becomes too complicated and crazy, and they're afraid of the questions that might be asked. But you know, there's another group of folks in our churches as well, folks that don't fully understand it themselves, even in their heart. They don't understand what the gospel message is. And I believe that, in fact, there's many people in our churches that hope they're saved. They hope they understand the gospel. They hope that if they die that they would make it to heaven, but they're not sure. And they struggle with it. And they're uncertain. In fact, my sister, for years, struggled with this. I don't think she would mind me telling you. I didn't ask her. Maybe I should ask her since all our services are recorded now. I'll call her later. She struggled with this a lot. She was saved at a young age like I was, and all the way up through her her teenage years and through her young adult years. About every time we had a revival meeting or a special service and the preacher got up and preached hellfire and brimstone and you're going to go to hell if you don't know Christ, she would feel convicted and she would run up and get saved again. In fact, she'd get saved over and over and over and over, and because she just wasn't sure. And you know, a lot of pastors will get up and preach, you know, you have to believe. You know, do you really believe? Do you really, really believe? Do you really, 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 really believe? And you start to wonder, well, do I believe? Maybe I don't believe enough. I only have 3 beliefs. I need 4? Wow. You know, and you wonder, am I really saved? Do I really know Christ? Am I really going to heaven? Do I really believe? What about those doubts? And we wonder, am I really a Christian? Do I have salvation? Should I be singing Blessed Assurance? Because I don't have it. And so this morning what I want to do is, I like I said, it's going to be very different. I don't have a single note in front of me. Don't have even a plan other than a few verses that I want to show you. And I might even come down and ask you some questions. And if I do, I have this little microphone for you to talk into so that everyone can hear you clearly. We have some folks that struggle with hearing, so be kind to them and speak into the microphone if I ask. What I want to show you, hopefully this is going to work. I told it to. Did it go? Yes, I have control. Isn't that cool? By the way, if you have an iPad or an iPhone, if you have the Logos app, you can follow along right on your thing and stuff. So anyway, I stole control from the back. Nick, that's awesome. They're not happy about it at all. He's going to take control back. Watch him. He's going to move it. I saw him reaching. The verse I want to show you is this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Read it again. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. This verse, I think, is the answer to those of you that doubt, to those of you who maybe don't quite understand. I left out a group. There's a group in most churches, and I don't have any doubt that there's a group in this church that they've heard the gospel, they've listened to the gospel, they've heard the good news, but they've never trusted it. They've never applied it to their own life. It's good for others, but I don't know about for me. That's another group. Maybe you're, well, I don't understand it. I want to understand it more before I commit my life, before I give my life to Christ. Well, the first thing that we need to study is a passage in Romans. Romans 3, 23 and 24. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." You know what this verse says? This verse very simply says that every one of us here falls short of God's standard. That we all have a need. Everyone. Isn't it nice to know that every one of us is in the same boat? I heard a good definition of fellowship once. Fellowship is, you know, when you have two people on the same boat, and you're going in the same direction. Two fellows on a ship. That's fellowship. You like that? I like that. No, you'll never forget it. That's fellowship. We're all in the same fellowship because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We've all fallen short of God's perfection. Has God ever done anything wrong? Of course not. Of course not. Has God ever made a mistake? No. God, is heaven perfect? I sure hope so, right? Well, what happens if our imperfection enters heaven? It's no longer perfect anymore because there's unperfect beings in it, right? So that's a problem. We have an issue here, and we all are in the same boat. We all have the same problem. We're all sinners. That's what that verse is saying. For all have sinned. Do you believe God's word? God's word, it says, it teaches that itself is infallible, that it is perfect, that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit inspired men. Actually, the word means breathed words right into them as they wrote them down, that this word is God's word, and God tells us that everyone has sinned, that no one has lived on this earth, has been born of a mom and a dad, is the seed of Adam and Eve, that has not sinned. We've all sinned. That's not difficult to comprehend, is it? Most people will tell you, if you ask them, have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever done something wrong? Most people, honest people, will tell you, yeah, I sure have. We all fall into that category. That we're all in that situation of being sinners. For all have fallen short. All fall short of the glory of God. Yeah. But we have a promise through Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ came to die for us. That's John 3:16. Look at this verse here. Let me go back to Romans chapter 10 real quick. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, in another translation, the older NIV actually uses the word confess. Confess. And the Greek for that word confess literally means to lean on, to trust in. To lean on the fact, to have faith and trust in with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What is a Lord? We don't use that word much today. What is a Lord? Hey, be quiet. It's beeping at me. It's Aaron. Aaron's posting things on Facebook back there. Oh, you've been caught now, buddy. Oh, well, thank you. After the service. It dinged at me. I have it turned off and everything. Anyway, what is a Lord? What is a Lord? Anyone? A master. Okay, a master. What else could we use for the word Lord? What's a Lord? A ruler. Like 12 inches? What kind of, a different kind of ruler? A king, okay. A CEO. A boss. Right? Someone who has absolute and ultimate control, right? Authority. Huh. There's the thing. There's the issue. That's the definition of the road to salvation. You see, it says if you trust in, if you lean in, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus has control, that Jesus has authority, all-encompassing authority over your life. If you declare that, if you speak that for all to hear, that Jesus is in control of your life, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's salvation. There it is. All wrapped up in a pretty little package for you. Look with me over at 1 Corinthians. What do we have to believe? We have to confess that he's Lord. We have to trust. We have to lean that he is Lord. what do we have to believe? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." It's very specific what you have to believe. It's very specific what you have to understand. You want to be saved? You want to have salvation? You want to know, you have that blessed assurance that we sang about, that when you die, which the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Every one of us, if God tarries, will meet that judgment. We will step from this life onto the next one. They'll have a, you know, they'll have a funeral and Tim Hawkins, too bad Dan isn't here. Tim Hawkins posted, the Christian comedian, posted the most hilarious post on Facebook the other day. It was him talking, and it was saying that when he dies, he wants the funeral to be a big party. And then he said he wanted a candy bowl on his chest as he's laying there. And when they walk up, they would say, "Oh, we so missed Tim. Oh, he was such a, ooh, Smarties." And I thought that was great. So you can do that for me. But that's going to be all of us at some time. We're going to be laying there in the box, but we won't be there, will we? We will have moved on. Our soul, our spirit will have moved on. And the next thing that we will have occur to us is immediately after we breathe that last breath will be the judgment. And we'll be standing before our Creator. And our Creator is going to ask you a question. The very first question is, "What did you do with Jesus Christ? What did you do with my Son? I sent my Son. What are you going to do with Him? What did you do with Him, I mean, in your past life? What did you do with Him? Did you believe in Him? Did you trust in Him? Did you confess with your mouth that He is your Lord?" And you will have to answer, and there will be no fibbing. There will be no explanations. It's yes or no. And that answer will determine your eternal destination. You will spend forever somewhere, and it will be heaven in that perfect place because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit through the salvation of Jesus Christ, or it will be eternal damnation, eternal separation from God, forever separated from Him in a place that Christ calls a lake of fire. Is Christ perfect? Does He lie? That's what He said. I didn't say that. He said it. If I wrote it, I wouldn't have wrote it that way because that's a horrible ending. But that's what God said. And He's not a liar. What is this belief? You know, you have to, when I share the gospel with people, I split it up into ABCs. I tell people, first off, if you want to be saved, you have to accept. You have to accept that you're a sinner. We just talked about that we are all sinners. Man, that's the easiest part, really. I mean, most people will go that far. "Oh yeah, I'm a sinner." Oh yeah, you know, you go down to the local bar on Friday night or whatever, you'll probably hard-pressed to find one person there that will not say, "Oh yeah," and maybe even with gusto and pride, "I'm a sinner." You know, most people don't have a hard time with that one. The next one's a little harder. The B stands for belief. What do you have to believe? You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that He was nailed to a cross, that He shed His blood. His blood was spilt out upon the ground from the scourging, from the crown of thorns on His brow, through the piercings, through His wrist and through His feet, and finally through the spear that was shoved up through His chest into His heart. That His blood was spilled upon the ground for you, and that blood as a perfect sacrifice paid the penalty for your sin. That you were ransomed, that you were purchased, that you were bought. You have to believe that. That He was buried. And then on that third day that He rose, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering hell, defeating it once and for all. Admit, piece of cake. Believe. Some people stumble on this one. Some people have a hard time with this one. I hope you don't. It's a step of faith, really. Believing in something that you haven't seen. Believing in something that you can't touch, that isn't tangible. That the only proof that you have is a glorious book that has lasted for thousands of years, that is trustworthy. Belief in that. It's faith. Some people struggle for years to believe. And it really comes down, am I going to put my faith in that? And Once you do, you're two-thirds of the way there. Two-thirds of the way there. Because our text this morning in Romans 10:9 says, if you declare, if you confess, there's a third step. That's the C, confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Confessing with your mouth that you're going to lean on and trust on and trust in and depend on Jesus Christ. You see, Scripture tells us that even Satan believes. The demons believe. They were there. They saw it. Is Satan and the demons going to be in heaven? That wasn't a trick question. Thank you, Nathaniel. No! Man, am I putting you to sleep or something? Wake up. Satan's not going to be there. The demons are going to be there. And they believe. They know that they're sinners. They're not going to be there. They know they're evil. They're not going to be in heaven. They can't be around God. Why? Because they refuse to give Jesus Christ the control of their life. They refuse to bow their knee to Him. That's the third step of salvation that so many people miss. This is the reason that a lot of folks in our churches, unfortunately, won't be in heaven with us either. Because they've been taught that all you have to do is say a prayer, say some words, and really, 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 really mean it. Unless, you know, if it's a revival meeting, you have to really, 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 really mean it. You know, and if you do, then that's it. You know, you can have your faith and your trust in this prayer that you prayed. But that isn't salvation. Salvation is admitting that you're a sinner, believing that what He did on that cross was sufficient for you, and then giving Him control. You know, if you go back into the New Testament and you look at every single one of the disciples except Judas, and you look at the Apostle Paul, every single one of them, they had a moment when they just dropped everything and they followed Jesus Christ. Look at Peter. He's in his boat. He's fishing. Jesus comes up. He says, leave your nets. Leave your boat and follow me. And he says, okay. Some people believe that was a call to ministry. I don't think so. I think that was a call to salvation. If Peter had said, yeah, I'll get back with you, we wouldn't be reading about Peter. Remember the rich man? The rich man said, what must I do to be born again? And Jesus said, you need to sell everything you own and get rid of all your riches and come and follow me. And he says, oh, I can't do that. And he walked away. And what did Jesus say? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Wow. Why is that so? Because he wasn't ready to make Christ his Lord. He wasn't ready to make Christ his Lord. You see, I'm not preaching to you this morning that in order to be saved, you have to sell everything you own. I'm not preaching that in order to be saved, that you have to quit your job. I'm not saying that you have to become a street corner preacher to be a Christian. I'm not. But I am saying, if you truly understand salvation, that you must accept that you're a sinner, believe that what He did on that cross was sufficient, and lastly, you have to make Him the Lord of your life. You have to say to Him on that point of salvation, God, you know what? Everything that I am is yours. That job, if you want me to keep it, I'll keep it. If you want me to get rid of it, I'll get rid of it. If you want me to have these things that I have, I'll keep them. If you want me to sell them, I'll sell them. Everything for your honor, everything for your glory. I will use everything that I have, every ounce of breath that I have to glorify you because I'm so thankful for you saving me. You are the master of my life. You control my life. You are everything to me. I am leaning on you and trusting in you fully for my salvation because everything that I am is yours. That is salvation. That is salvation. You know why? This is an assurance to me. Because I believe all of these things that I've said about Jesus dying on the cross, everything that the Bible says about Him being buried and risen again, I wasn't there. I have to take it by faith. Do I have momentary doubts? Of course I do, but that's everyone has doubts. The Scripture talks about everyone having doubts. You know, that's irrelevant. My salvation does not depend on the level of my faith. It depends on me leaning on Him. It's like the guy that said, hey, heal my son. And Jesus said, if you believe, I'll heal him. And he says, I believe. Forgive me for my unbelief. You know, that's human. To doubt is human. But our salvation is not based on the level of our faith. That's why my sister kept coming forward, because I don't believe enough. I don't have enough faith. Your salvation is not tied up in the level of your belief. It's not like you have a gas tank full of faith and it has to stay on full the whole time in order to get to heaven. Your salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the finished work of the cross, what God has already done for you. What we are called to do is lean on that, to trust in that. Man, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Because my luck, I would get hit by a big truck on a low day. You know, my faith will have wavered right before that semi flattened me. That'd be my luck. I'm so glad that my salvation is tied up and secured in Him. In Him. And I'm with Tim Hawkins. You know, I want a big party at my funeral. He also said that towards the end of the funeral, he wants to crank the music up and he wants to body surf. What a funeral that guy's going to have. I can't wait. I'm gonna kneel on him. I can't wait for you to die so I can go to your funeral. Wouldn't that be awful? Anyway, we all have that appointment. And well, I didn't get a chance to pass the mic around. I got long-winded. Sorry about that. Maybe next time. What I want to ask is very simple. Like I said, I want this service to be a little different. I want this service to be a little maybe uncomfortable for you. As uncomfortable as it is for me to be up here with no notes. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the work that Jesus Christ did was sufficient, and that you're leaning on that and trusting on that, not because you're great, but because He's great, and you've given Him your life to have control over, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand for all to see. You can put them down. Amen. That's fantastic. I'm going to put some of you on the spot, okay? But it's okay because we're family here. We're friends here. It's okay. You know what? Us guys have a hard time with it, but you ladies don't usually. When you're driving down the road and you don't know where you're at, and your GPS battery's dead, not too bad to pull over and ask for directions, is it? To roll down the window and say, I'm lost. Can you help me get home? And they say, I don't know where you live. Oh, let me tell you. Us guys struggle with that sometimes. But you know what? You're amongst friends and family, and there's no one here that's going to judge you, that's going to think bad about you. It's okay to say, you know what? In spiritual matters, I'm lost. I don't know my way home. I don't even know where home is. I'm really lost. If you, maybe you don't have any problem admitting that you're a sinner. Maybe you struggle with the belief portion. Maybe you just struggle with that confessing part of totally leaning and trusting in Him and being your boss. And you're not ready to give Him your life. You believe all that stuff, but you're not ready to give Him your life. Would you just raise your hand so that we can pray for you? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything. You're like, you're asking me to raise my hand. That's embarrassing. We want to pray with you. We care for you. Not everyone's hand went up, and I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand? I'll raise mine with you. Come on. Are you bashful people? You know, I don't believe that everyone in here is there. I don't. I don't. But why did I get into ministry? Why have I given my life to serve others? So that folks like you who refuse to raise your hands can know Him. Can know Him like I do. Can know Him like the rest of these folks who raise their hands do, if they were being honest. You see, everyone will have to be at that judgment seat someday. I want more than anything, not so that I can get credit for it, but for you to say, yes, I gave my life to Christ. That crazy preacher told me about him. Can't remember his name. Talk funny. You know what I don't want to see? I don't want to be up in heaven and not see you. There's not supposed to be any crying or tears in heaven, but I can't help but wonder, is God going to have to give us some kind of mental block because those that we love here on this earth are not going to be there because they refused to accept Him? He died for you. He wants to save you. Maybe one more question, I'll let you guys go. Maybe you're here this morning and you've always struggled. You've maybe asked Christ into your heart 5, 10, 15, 20 times, but you always struggled being sure. How do you be sure? You know, do I believe enough? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here this morning and you weren't sure when you came in. If you weren't sure when you came in, but you're sure now, would you raise your hand so I can praise God with you? Anyone? Man, you New Englanders are hard, folks. You're like, I'm not going to raise my hand. The building might fall down. We're New Englanders. I can literally see fingernail prints on some of these pews. All right, you stubborn New Englanders, do me a favor, okay? I'll let you off the hook. After this service, will you just come talk to me? Will you send me an email, post me on Facebook, private message me if you do those things? Call me, send me a letter. That's old school. Write me a letter, put a stamp on it. Just tell me where you're at so I can know how to pray for you or whether to rejoice with you. I want to rejoice. I want to praise God that some of you have accepted Him, that some of you have assurance, that you know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it's not up to you. It's up to your leaning on Him. It's on Him. It's the foundation that He laid through the cross. Man. That's something worth praising and jumping up and down and screaming and shouting about, right? You're like, yeah. You guys are killing me. I swear, I'm going to bring in a revival preacher from down south on you guys. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure he's Pentecostal to boot. I don't know why God laid this on my heart. It could be one individual in here that's like, really wrapped up and tied up, and that's all right. You know, you might be locked in a cage in your heart, terrified. That's okay. We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe you're that person here that this message was put on my heart for. I want you to know that I don't know your name, but I'm praying for you. And that your church, that you have chosen to claim as yours, to fellowship with, to worship with, to sing with, to talk with. They're praying for you too, right, church? Amen. They're praying for you too, because we love you. And we do not want to not see you in heaven when we get there. It's the saddest thing I can think of is that some of you might not be there. But I'm praying for you. If you got some questions, you have some things you want to talk about, you can talk to me. I won't tell anybody. Send me that letter. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We ask that, Lord, that you would open hearts and open eyes and open ears, that your gospel may do its work, that you might plow the fields of hearts, that you would make the soil of hearts loose and fertile, that the seed of your gospel might grow deep roots and sprout and bear fruit, Lord, abundant fruit. Lord, you did not come to die in this world in vain. You came to die that men might accept you, not reject you, that you might give them salvation You told us you didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's why you died. That's why you were resurrected. Lord, put it on every one of our hearts, the conviction of sin, the abundant faith of and belief, and the courage to confess you as our Lord, as our boss, as our ruler and controller. Lord, if there's one in here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you would do your work in them before it's too late. If there's one in here that has ever doubted, that you would give reassurance. If there's one in here right now that is doubting, Lord, build up their faith in you. Reveal to them that it's not them, but you that saves. It's not a prayer, but it's your finished work on the cross. Lord, I ask that all of these things would be done in accordance with your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
This presentation is brought to you by Whiting Community Church. Real people, real faith. We are located in the heart of Whiting, Vermont, on Route 30. Sunday school classes start at 9:30, following a time of coffee and fellowship. Our Sunday morning worship service starts at 10:30. Join us for a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Learn more about our thriving small group ministries gathering throughout the week in Whiting, Orwell, Cornwall, Shoreham, Sudbury, and Brandon. To learn more about Whiting Community Church, please contact Pastor Billy Jones at 802-623-7171. Or you may reach us on the web at wccvt.com and at Facebook/Whiting Church. Thank you, and may God bless you.